Welcome back to Hill Country Institute Live, Exploring Christ and Culture. I'm Larry Linenschmidt, your host, and we're delighted you were with us today. We serve the body of Christ by encouraging and equipping followers of Jesus Christ to fully share His heart and mind in all of life. We invite you to visit our website, hillcountryinstitute.org, to listen to not only our past programs, but video and audio of our past conferences. The past programs are also available on your podcast app as Hill Country Institute Live. We also ask you to consider a donation to support this program. You can donate through our website, hillcountryinstitute.org, or call in 512-680-7993. And now let's welcome our special guest today, Bob Inglis. Bob Inglis, once again, thank you for being here with us. We really appreciate you making time to join Hill Country Institute Live.
Great to be with you, Larry. Thanks.
Bob, in the last segment, we were as we closed out, we were talking about innovation and free enterprise and how over time the use of fuel has changed. Sometimes transitions are difficult, even if we're moving towards a good goal, aren't they?
Yeah, it's so true. Transitions are difficult. I'm reading a biography right now of Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, and a freed slave escaped and then bought his freedom slave. But one of the ways he sustained himself was in a whaling community in Massachusetts. And so it's just interesting to think about how that whole community was built around going out and fishing for whales, dragging them back, getting the oil out of them, and that's how people lit their homes, is with whale oil. And then came, the use of coal, and then we discovered really in World War II that petroleum was better than coal, particularly for shipping. And we've had a long and great run on petroleum, and will continue for a while, of course, in that way. But those transitions are hard. Though I do believe in the creativity of the human spirit. God's given us this amazing ability to think and to create and really be co-creators with Him in the creation, which is an amazing dignity He bestows on us as humans. And so just the seeing the, for example, the resourcefulness of the Society of Petroleum Engineers, for example. I was speaking to them a while back in Houston, 120 engineers there. I asked them, raise your hands if you think climate change is real and human caused. And nearly every person raised their hand. And I wish that the people that I used to represent in South Carolina could have seen that encounter, because I think they'd be really surprised to know that what the Society of Petroleum Engineers in Houston, Texas, that's saying that they know it's real and human caused. Well, yeah, they do know that, and they're ready to innovate. And next up on the panel was Michael Weber of UT Austin, and an engineering professor. And he told them not to worry. There'll be lots of other things for you to drill for and do in the future. And the 120 people there seemed to be in agreement, saying, yeah, we've got real good skills, and we can apply them in other ways. Mm-hmm. So you can innovate, but now that transition, like you say, is hard because there's some businesses that will go out of business, and that's really hard. The key, I think, there is to be nimble if you're in one of those businesses and try to figure out how to move. So, for example, railroads could have become airlines when the Wright brothers did what they did and invented flying. Well, apparently the railroads, which had a lot of capital and were in the transportation business, thought that people wouldn't fly. Mm-hmm. Well, they were wrong. But they could have moved into that business and kept up their rolling stock for delivery of cargo, because for goodness sakes, that's a very efficient way to deliver cargo. But they could have gone into people moving business through the air. So that's an example of how you got to be nimble. None of us are guaranteed sort of an outcome that, you can be in this business forever. Do keep on doing exactly the way you've been doing it. No, that's not a guarantee that's available in the free enterprise system.
Sure. And there's just countless examples, buggy whip manufacturers to bookstores, Ford and Amazon are two examples of disruptions that we benefited from. And the companies that were kind of left in the lurch, they could either adapt or kind of be overrun, I guess is a good term. But the consumer in a free enterprise system ultimately wins, because you've got a low-cost producer either introducing a new product or a new way of doing things or improving the old product. So it's always to the good of the consumer, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly if that business that is delivering those products is taking into account all of its costs and is being honest with that accounting, like you just said, the full costing, then they're really agents of God's grace in watching the kingdom come, as things get better for us. I mean, I won't get into the theological arguments there about eschatology and dispensationalism versus covenant theology and all that. But I think across that theological spectrum, you can say that isn't it great when God gives us grace through the creativity of His highest creation, which is human beings, bringing about things that improve the human condition. So, for example, when Henry Ford created that automobile, it was bad for buggy manufacturers, but it was great for customers, like you're just saying, because we can now zip around in our cars in tremendous comfort, whether it's hot outside or cold outside. And we probably, particularly if you think about riding in a wagon with a horse in a cold winter, you might have died from something after getting to your destination 10 miles away or something because of the stress put on your body from the cold.
Sure.
Now, you don't go 10 miles, you go 100 miles in your car, and you get there and you win at 72 degrees. You don't die of pneumonia when you get there. So the kingdom comes, and it's really a blessing that system brings about, that innovation. And, in the midst of this coronavirus, I was looking at our farm cat out the window, and I thought, I wonder if Sam, our cat, knows about the coronavirus. And I started to think, well, he's sort of oblivious, Sam is, and could have lived in any time period. But then I thought, no, you know what? Sam is benefited by the creativity of human beings and the advance of science, because he's had distemper shots. Otherwise, our cat Sam might have died years ago of various cat diseases. That now we go take him to the vet, he gets a shot, and he's back at the barn mousing for us. And so he's greatly benefited. And that's how, if you're a steward of creation and you're co-creating with God in this creation, you're bringing His grace. You're making things better for people. And of course, that's what we pray right now in labs all around the world. Very talented people searching diligently for a cure or a vaccine for coronavirus. And we just pray they're successful and quickly. And of course, where the free enterprise system comes in is that it's also true that those who invent it will be rewarded handsomely. And I'm all for that, mm-hmm. Otherwise you'd have to stand over them with a stick and try to get them to do the research. But This way, no, they're staying up late in those labs because of that reward system, and I think that's pretty great to give them that reward.
Certainly. Yeah, and I think there's a sense that biblical stewardship would imply taking care of something, and if you do take care of something, to whether it's, you know, in the agrarian society that the biblical writers lived in, your crop came in because you worked hard. In this sense, the development of a new product is, in a sense, like a new crop, and whatever that crop is worth in the market, letting full costing and free market come together, then if that creates wealth, then the whole society benefits, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it's so true. You know, there's a definition of communism goes like this: he who has nothing wants to share it with you. I was on a very interesting call the other day about this coronavirus, and somebody asked the question, what should philanthropy be doing right now about this? And the answer from a real expert was, well, really what we need is people who make stuff. We need people making masks. We need people making ventilators. We need people who know how to make stuff. And isn't that a great answer? It's like, yeah, we need stuff. We need things that are made. And I think your reference there, Larry, to the agrarian society is really a good one to keep in mind, is that you are rewarded for planting that field and tending it and creating the wealth that then makes things better. It's also true that in that biblical system, you left the outer ring of your field for poor people to come glean. And so God was aware and cares for the poor and set up a system by which the wealthy landowner, thank goodness, he's out there planting and producing, but he's instructed to leave some of it for poor people to come get. And that kind of concept of creating wealth but also sharing it in a responsible way, it's something really exciting, I think, about the biblical method. It's where some on the left criticize those of us on the right for not caring about the poor. And sometimes it's a true bill, because if we don't express that concern, we're not expressing the heart of God, because he was and is very concerned about the poor. And there's a responsibility of the wealthy to care for the poor. Produce good things in your field, but leave part of it for the poor.
Well, and there's also the question of how you produce. Going back to English coal-fired electricity, the CO2 in the air, along with other increases in greenhouse gases like methane, has a tremendous impact on our overall atmospheric condition, and then the warming of the planet, and that CO2 goes into the ocean. So how do we think about that in terms of taking care of the least among us?
Yeah, and those are the people who are going to be most affected, right? If there are a lot of millions and billions of people around the world who are in a very extreme situation where they will be exposed to the worst of climate change. Those of us in rich places like America, a lot of us will be able to avoid those impacts and last much longer. But if we care for the least of these, and some people, when they hear that, Larry, they think, oh, well, that's going off the reservation. Now you sound like a liberal. I don't think that's liberal thinking. I think that's biblical Christianity. I think that's being aware that you are responsible. To whom much is given, much will be required. And everything that we've got is a gift of God. Whatever it is you think you've got, and in fact do have, it came from God. And that's offensive to some of us, because we think, no, I worked for it. I got it. Well, yes, you did. But God gave you the ability to work. He gave you the ability to think. He gave everything comes from him. And so that results in thanksgiving rather than arrogance. And so, and it results in being aware of just how much we've been given and the opportunity we've got, the joy we've got of giving to those that are in need. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so it's really, in that way, exciting. If you've been given great gifts of being able to think things and create stuff, well, then get the wonderful blessing of giving and serving. And so I think that's what we're faced with in America, was we're the country that's rich enough and powerful enough and has enough creative people who are living in freedom to innovate in this world of climate change. And that's what we seek to do at RepublicEN.org, is bring forth that message so that conservatives can hear it in their own language and not hear it as an attack on the free enterprise system. We got to repent of the capitalistic system. We got to do with less and things like that. That's not our message. Our message is, no, we're going to have more energy, more mobility, more freedom through the innovation of the free enterprise system, with people serving their customers and mm-hmm. serving them well.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And in serving them well, that will include thinking through the impact of, and I'm bringing up greenhouse gases again, but that's where the poor, say, in El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, they're losing farmland because of drought and heat. In Bangladesh, they're losing farmland and villages because of sea level rise. And so you can see the extension of the issue into poor communities, but also into more wealthy areas. And it impacts the military as well. In Norfolk, Virginia, sea level rise is a major issue for our base there. In Texas, we have Fort Bliss, also into New Mexico. And as that area becomes warmer, the capacity of the base to perform and to even exist comes into question. So it just runs through every area for a conservative, for someone thinking biblically. It's like a mobile over a baby's bed. You touch one aspect of it, one little piece, and everything jiggles. So it's all related, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it reflects the interconnectedness of creation. And isn't that what we'd expect? Because there's a creator who set all this up, established the rules for it by the laws of gravity and the laws of all kinds of things, physics. The exciting thing is if we operate in those systems consistent with, with those principles, then blessings result. Good things happen. If we go against the grain and try to challenge those things, well, havoc results. And so that's the havoc we're experiencing. And we got to expect it to be, like you say, across everything in the case of climate change. It affects every part of our lives. I think it's important to have an upbeat note there, is that, but what an incredible challenge it is, what a calling it is. And I might add this, Larry, it's particularly for the believer, it's an opportunity to present a credible witness for Christ, because if the world hears us as believers dismissing the challenge of climate change, what do they think of us? They think, well, who would, that's not a loving response, they would say, and who would want to be like them? They seem like nasty people. But if you particularly for the believer, to enter the space in the name of Christ and to say, I'm here as an agent of reconciliation, like we talked about at the top, then it's such an effective presentation of the gospel. And I've seen that over and over. As you know, Larry, when I'm sharing my story about how I got involved in this, it involves that third step, which is the experience of the Great Barrier Reef with Scott Heron, the Aussie climate scientist. And afterwards, people come up to me and they basically say, I didn't know that Christians could be involved in this. I didn't know that Christians cared. Mm-hmm. And it's such an opportunity to present the gospel at that point. Which would be expected, right? Because if you're operating out of love, it makes your presentation of the gospel credible.
Yeah. Yeah, and love covers a multitude of sins, but love also requires a concerted effort. It's not just a touchy-feeling, isn't it? It's a course of action and a plan of caring.
Yeah, and a willingness to identify with other people and to, even if their circumstances are not our own circumstances, because isn't that exactly what Christ did? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Mm-hmm. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's what we're supposed to be like, is identifying with people, even though it might not be our situation, and love them in that situation, because that's what he did for us.
Yes. Well, our calling is to be ambassadors for Christ, and ambassadors representing the one who is the source of love need to reflect his love, to be truly in him and for him and showing him. So how do we ultimately do that with a challenge like climate change and environmental stewardship? How would you sum that up?
Well, I think I go back to where I started here with you today is, you know, in my first 6 years in Congress, I had this very sanctimonious notion that I was pure, the rest of the world was swine. And that led me in part to just sort of repeat the things that my tribe was saying, you know, about climate change. And in order to basically be the leader of that tribe, you know, mm-hmm. And I think what we have to do is have some courage in this love that we're talking about. Love is also courageous. It takes some risk. You got to be willing to sometimes say things to our own friends and family and church members, and is to challenge them. And I'm sure. We all have stories of that as we go on in life. I can tell you stories about believers who've challenged me and made it so that I could see it differently. When we have those, it's a blessing when somebody helps you figure out where you were wrong, you know, and now you can fix it. And so, and that's, I think, an important point about grace, that, we the ambassadors of Christ, have the message of reconciliation, and it is a message of grace that you can accept responsibility, say that I was wrong, and then move along, forgiven and revised. That's a message that the world can't necessarily give. That's a uniquely biblical message that there's an opportunity for forgiveness and redemption. And that's pretty exciting. Oh, and it's powerful.
I think that's the greatest news of all, isn't it? So,
yeah,
Bob, I'd love to keep going. I appreciate you sharing your heart and your thoughts about this important issue of, and it's, and we've touched so many things. It's our responsibility to others. It's our responsibility to God. It's our calling as being made in His image to take care of His creation. And that involves other people as well as the creation as a whole. So thank you. Thank you for this time. I would encourage people to visit republicen.org to find out more about Bob's organization. And Bob, thank you. Thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Larry. Thanks for the work you're doing.
Thank you. To our audience, thank you once again for being with us today. I hope you'll visit our website, hillcountryinstitute.org, to listen to podcasts of previous programs, and also the audio and video from our past conferences and seminars on a variety of faith and culture topics. The program is also available as Hill Country Institute Live on your podcast app. We ask for your financial support to continue this program. We have a bill coming in every month from the radio station, so if you'd help us pay that, we'd sure appreciate it. You can donate at our website, hillcountryinstitute.org, or by calling 512-680-7993. That's 512-680-7993. Thank you for being with us again for Hill Country Institute Live. We encourage you to share the love of Christ wherever God calls you.